Hi, good evening. My name is Inger. I am a compulsive eater. I'm used to going to meetings in the morning, so this is a foreign thing for me to say good evening. So I'm here to share what it was like, what's happened, and what it's like now. I have come back to OA about a year ago. I had been in the program for 4.5 years and had gotten abstinent and lost 100 pounds and was doing well, sponsoring, was working, had work steps, was working steps with others. And I had an issue with a sponsor where I didn't read the part in the book, or at least it wasn't there when I read the book, where it said, to be mindful of who we choose as a sponsor and who we share our fifth step with. So it came to pass where my sponsor shared my fifth step with everyone I knew. And then further, my food plan changed a bit. I was being tested to be a kidney donor for one of the women I was sponsoring who was very ill, and we had the same blood type, and I was being tested. My proteins was just a little high, and protein works very well for me. So doctor said maybe trim back the protein a bit to see if that would help, and I could be a resource to her. And that change, apparently, she felt I had relapsed. And so everywhere I went, I heard from everyone I saw and knew, "Oh, I heard you relapsed. How's it going?" And I'm like, "Wait, what? What are you talking about?" And I honestly, I feel very sheepish about the whole thing still because I thought I knew better. I thought I could determine somebody working a program and not. And what I learned was through that experience, I learned that I need to watch the actions. It really doesn't matter what anyone says. It's the actions that I see people take in this program. Those are the ones that save my life, and those are the people that are working a program. After that happened, and it went on for a few weeks, I couldn't take it anymore. I didn't feel safe, so I stopped going to meetings. And I thought it was just going to be, I would find another meeting and it was just going to be a beat or two and it'd be all right. I had gotten sober. I was going to an AA meeting, my home group there, and I figured, oh, I'll be back. Well, the I'll be back was 18 years. And very quickly, that time elapsed, quickly and slowly. And my eating went back to the way it was. I was no longer abstinent. I lost my abstinence about 6 months in after I stopped going to meetings. And the hopelessness, the despair, the isolation, the shame all came back. It came back with fury, and the weight came back. And at first, it was just little bits here, little bits there. And then life threw some big lumps my way. And I didn't know how to deal with it. I had become, well, I had always had a desire to want to be a mom. And I had a plan when I was 8 in high school. My plan was I'm going to go to college. I'm going to meet him, get married, and have 8 babies, all girls. I had lost my mom when I was 14, and food was always a comfort during that time, especially because my dad and I were like oil and vinegar, and my brothers didn't listen or respect me. My mom had asked me to please take care of things when after she died, and we knew she was going to die. She and I knew, and I said, of course. And so life didn't kind of sort out that way. I didn't meet him in college, and I didn't find the relationship to that I wanted to, or that I felt was capable of getting married and having a family with. I did end up getting pregnant at one point, and I was in my early 30s, and I was like, oh, I can do this. And he did not want to be a parent. And we were arguing quite a bit, and he really was pressuring me to make a choice I really didn't want to make. And I lost the baby. I was devastated. I was just so sad. And I remember after that happened, I started going to the Walgreens and picking up the sale items of the goodies, if you will, and I'd have those in the house. And the God of my understanding, he just really he has this sense of humor that I often find funny. And other times I'm like, not funny, God. That was a good one, but still not funny. And so I was working a job after I lost the baby, and I had gained probably about 50 pounds at that point, maybe a little more. And the person next to me, who sat next to me, she had just adopted her cousin's ninth child. And her cousin was an active drug addict, and she couldn't care for any of her children. And so she had just completed that. And she came back one night and she said, "You'll never believe what I found out today." And I'm like, "What?" "She's pregnant again." And I'm like, "No way." She said, "Yeah, we don't know what we're going to do." And immediately my heart said, "I do. I do. I know what you're going to do." And so I prayed about it and I talked about it and I processed it, and I went back to her a couple of weeks later and said, "You remember your cousin and the 10th child? I want to adopt that child." And I knew she was going to be drug exposed in utero, and so I wanted the best outcome for her. So I became a foster parent. I wanted her to have the most insurance and what have you available. And so, there was an option that many times over people had said to me, "Oh, Inger, why don't you just stop? You want to be a mom? Or why don't you become a foster parent?" And I was like, "No, not going to happen. I have no interest in that." And God snuck me to the back door. He's like, "Well, here, become a foster parent. This will give this little girl an opportunity for better, all of the resources needed." And I had a relationship with God. And it was like I was kind of tone deaf and in some areas with my steps and with my relationship with God. And I just felt like there was like he and I were good, but then I would sneak off and do my business. I would go off and do, eat more at a meal than I was hungry for. I would, and it was, I would eat because I was scared. I would eat because I was nervous. I would eat because things went well that day. I would just eat. That was my resource. And honestly, it was the only addiction I had left in the toolbox to go back to. So all of this was very nerve-wracking because I'm single and I'm like, okay, well, I don't know when this baby's going to be born. She says it's going to be born in August. And then August came and August went. September came and September went. And she was finally born October 6th. And I would love to tell you that, everything went happily ever after. Well, 5 weeks in, the courts and DCFS made a decision to put her with her great aunt and families come first. And I was devastated. And I remember crying and eating and just sobbing my eyes out. And there had to be something that I was gnawing on to satiate that pain. It was just too much. And I gained probably another 60, 70 pounds at that point after I lost Michelle. And I know that, maybe what do kids have to do with, what does being a foster parent have to do with being a compulsive eater? Well, they're pretty woven together for me, those things of the pain of my life as a foster parent and my losing my kids. It drove me really deep into the food. And I ended up at my highest weight after I lost my second daughter. This one we got further along. She was with me 4.5 years. And her parents had signed over their rights to me, and we were getting ready to adopt. And the wheels fell off the bus. The judge decided that things had gone on too long. DCFS didn't do their all of the paperwork and everything they needed to do in time. And the surrenders were only good for a year, and it had been almost two. And once again, I was devastated. And I just remember laying on that green couch, sobbing my eyes out to the place where it was a leather couch and it would just be wet and my face would be in there. And I'd lean off the couch and I'd have my bag of goodies and I would just eat. And I remember telling my counselor at the time, like, yeah, I had three candy bars within like 15 minutes last night. And she's like, whoa. And I'm thinking, like, this is a normal Tuesday. Like, what do you mean? And that was another 100 pounds. And it just blows me away how this disease is just ever present. And I knew that no diet was going to work. I wouldn't even try them because I had tried all the diets before I came to OA the first time. I had done the A and Way kind of things and the food plans and the this and the that. And I knew the only thing that ever worked for me was OA, working a program, finding a solution through a higher power. And being honest, rigorously honest about what works and what doesn't when I put it in my body. What is it I can eat sanely and walk away with food on the plate, with things not, I don't have to be part of the clean plate club. And when I'm rigorously honest, I know what those things are. I know that I can't have one of them. I want the whole bus to or the truck to let out at my house. And, I want to eat until they're gone and till I can't get any more and making myself sick. That's where my disease takes me. And so last September, I have two kids who've been with me for six now 6.5 years. We're headed to adoption. All of the same fears are coming up, and I am starting to have this major pain in my knee, and I went to the doctor and he was not a kind man. I started sobbing in the office, and then as I left, I just cried my eyes out because he was mean. He's like, "Well, if you want to have surgery on your knee, you need a new knee replacement. It's bone on bone. You need to lose 140 pounds." And I didn't know how I was going to do that. And I remember I had a doctor's appointment with my primary care doctor that next day. And I talked to her about it. And I said, I'm going back to OA. And I think she had just kind of heard that from me in the past, maybe in passing, like, well, I'll go back to OA. But this time it was different. This time I was like, okay, I can't live this way. This is tremendous pain. And I need relief. And so I came back to, and I looked up a meeting online.
5 minutes.
Thank you. And I happened to find the Space Coast group in the morning, and it was like coming home. These were my people. They were kind, they were loving, they were supportive, and I felt a connection of acceptance in the room, which is something I couldn't even do for myself. And to be accepted exactly right as I was when I came back, was just such a gift. So I got honest about what food I can and can't partake in. I won't say I came up with a food plan, but I identified what works and what doesn't. What belongs in my on my plate and what is just poison for me? And what do I eat alcoholically, if you will? And then I got busy with working steps, coming to believe in a power greater than myself, in God, and trusting again that maybe, just maybe, he cares about this part of my life. Maybe, just maybe, he can help me with this too. And little by slowly, things have started to change. There's food left on my plate. I'm able to walk away from food. I'm not indulging in things that were binge foods forever. And I always had in the house. I don't have them in the house anymore. I've let go of 80 pounds at this point, and I've dropped 4 sizes. And for me, those are big deals. The biggest deal, though, is having the space between my ears again. It's quiet. There's peace. I have that connection again with God where when he speaks to my heart, I hear him again. And I'm not all clouded with the fuzz and the anger and the resentment and all of the things that my disease brings. So I'm grateful to be back. I'm grateful to be working a program. And I'm really grateful to be here tonight. I don't know why I'm so nervous. It's like this is a disease that is just plain as day on my body at all times. You can see the consequences of it. But I'm like, oh, I don't want to be recorded and and identify as a compulsive eater. Like for real, Inger. Seriously, you gained 200, over 200 pounds in this disease since your last recovery. And you don't think that's a glaring sign there's a problem? It's just funny. I mean, my thinking and my disease are so funny, but they keep me hostage in those thoughts if I don't tell on them. So I'm really grateful that I'm with you guys tonight and was able given the opportunity to share, and I hope that I said some things that help somebody. If nothing else, it helped me to be with you all tonight. So I am with that, I will pass. Thanks.